Blog Talk Radio.
Having everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves. And that's got to be said.
That has to do with the self-image that people have.
You know, just kind of your ego being swept aside or being kind of stomped on or being swatted like a fly.
It really is and truly happening at a societal level.
It is being able to take what feels like ordinary human energy and mastering extraordinary power, even with a single person in a society with this kind of power. We call it the X Factor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hot Zone. I'm Carrie Light, and some may know me as Carrie Carrie. I'll be your host tonight, coming to you live on Texas. It's really exciting. Back in the Hot Zone with y'all. Second episode for you. Tonight, sure to be hiring tonight, but with despair and balance. And remember, while you can feel free to take sides and pick candidates and issues, this will ultimately be a bipartisan discussion for all, and it will be a no-judgment zone.
...make them committed to presenting all aspects of the truth and allowing you, the listener, to decide for yourself.
31 seconds, and we're gone for auto-sequence start.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. As I prepared, I decided to invoke the spirit of 1976 and our country's bicentennial celebration because it wonderfully engulfs my heart and my mind, and I can see it like it was yesterday, all red, white, and blue everywhere, the buzz all around from January to the 4th of July and even beyond, the photos and the story covering the newsstands, and it was then that I became a patriot. And it was then that I thought, it doesn't matter who I am or where I came from, because I can do and be anything that I set my mind to. Now I'm in my 50s. I struggle to maintain that positivity, but hey, I will never stop believing that not only is America great, but it's never too late for it to become the place that I dreamed of back in 1976. I'm bringing back that spirit of the year of 1976, spirit of the American patriotism, and all of those dreams. And then I realized we had to do two things to kick off this show to the greatest ability, American ability, that we have. And one is to do the Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm going to pull this up real quick. Y'all know how live TV goes. okay. Pull it up. There we go. Okay. I'm sorry if you remember who Red Skelton is, but what can I say? He was a great guy. But if you do know who he is, you might be as old as I am or maybe a little bit more. But hey, this is a great age. There's no denying that. So with that being said, I really want you to listen. I played this last week, but you guys got to remember that this was back in the day when this is what we said every day in school, and it was before the words "under God" were added. Let's take a listen to how his teacher explained it to him as a child.
Oh.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
Yeah, it would be a pity. And gosh darn it, if it hasn't happened. But you know, that's why we're all gathered here tonight. We're talking about our precious America. And tonight, this show is dedicated to the concept American lives matter. There's all kinds of people out there saying, you know, Black lives matter, Blue lives matter, all these different, wait, stop. We all matter. Americans matter. America matters. So tonight we celebrate American lives matter. And I've got some really amazing guests with me. I don't want to play too much funny on the whole Mr. and Mrs. anonymous, but that's who I've got on with me tonight. I chose to put them in the anonymous status because I really want them to be honest and truthful about the whole shebang of being an officer and being a wife of an officer, raising a family, while the love of your life, the father of your children, go out every single night. These are the things that made me think American lives matter. But I really want to focus on law and order and law enforcement. I have another guest with me tonight, and I will get to him in just a moment. But for right now, while I work on that, I am going to play the second and amazing honor as an American, a gem called the Star Spangled Banner. I'm picking Whitney Houston's version once again because, once again, no one sings it better than her. And the flyover at the end and the roar of the crowd, I mean, it just doesn't get better than that. So here we go. Let's take a listen to this, and I'll see about getting our guests online. Be back in just a moment.
And now to honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at MacDill Air Force Base and will be performed by the Florida Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.
Everybody, that was totally awesome. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I was trying to do the whole multitasking while that was playing, and what can I say? It didn't go. This is live, you know, live show. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to dial Mr. Anonymous, Officer Anonymous, see if we can get him to get on the phone here. Okay, let me try one more thing. Man, this is tricky, you know? I love it. You got to love it too, right? Okay. Putting in the number. Almost done. Okay, let's try this. Says it's dialing. Still says it's dialing. Tell me when. Do I have you? Are you with me?
Hello?
Ah, I did it. You know, it's a lot more complicated than just using a phone. You should see my screen. Yay! Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to welcome with all my heart Officer Anonymous. And this is a officer in Central Texas. He risks his life every single day. And as I have talked to him a little bit about his perspective for tonight's show, you know, he brought a lot of things to my attention that I hadn't even thought of. And one of those things was the First Amendment. But since I'm not going to go into kind of like a traditional introduction of you to everybody, I just want to kind of start off with a general question of, you know, what is it like for you now, as in July 2016, compared to, say, a year ago?
Well, it's a lot more humid, but
for real.
To be honest, it's so much more different than it was a year ago as far as officer safety issues. I mean,
yeah.
You know, from day one when you go through the academy, they tell you, you know, consistently check your surroundings and be aware and treat, you know, you treat each person with respect and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is they don't tell you how much, you know, you really truly have to be on your guard, even when you come home. So, you know, it just seems like the media has put more and more of a target on our backs here in the last year than, I mean, I can ever imagine. But, you know, it doesn't change really the way we go and conduct our business.
So, like, on an everyday night or day when you're out there and that's your job, you're aware of it, but it isn't changing, like, maybe your reaction or how you would handle something. Is that like just because it's in your training and it's, I mean,
no, I mean,
to know how that works. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
Sometimes I don't know, to be honest, but no, it's just, you know, you. I had a training officer one time tell me that the excellence is achieved through training. So the more and more you're trained, the less likely mistakes you're going to make. But at the end of the day, we are all human beings. So people do make mistakes, and it seems like most of the mistakes that a few officers have made over the last year have been put over social media and, you know, every single channel you're turning to, the one mistake that this officer has made. And, you know, in the population of the community here, it's slowly starting to deteriorate towards us. So it's a,
yeah, I feel like I've seen that same deterioration. I just wonder, you know, here I am, I'm not the one out there protecting people every day. And for me, it seems such a dramatic change. I just can't imagine. It'd be like if, you know, we fix cars for a living. It'd be like if every single car that we worked on had a good chance of like blowing up when we popped the hood. It's so scary.
And that's kind of, I guess that's kind of the thing is, I mean, each call, you know, even on a traffic stop, I mean, there's been plenty of video footage of officers just making just a simple, what the public likes to call a routine traffic stop. You know, it turns deadly in either direction. And, you know, for all I know, I'm stopping the vehicle for a taillight being out or registration's expired by a year or so. Yeah. And you just have to consistently be on your toes.
I just can't imagine it. I can't even thank you enough for what you do. And I know that there's a lot of unthankfulness out there.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you try to imagine what our world would be like, you know, even just literally our world here in America, what it would be like without y'all. I mean, do people even really want to go there with their thoughts? Like, I hear people talk about it all the time, but really, it's easy to talk about it. But what if it was a reality? I mean, like, what would that world look like? And so there's just no way to say thank you enough for what you do every day.
Well, it's one of those, I prefer to fly under the radar. You know, I appreciate the thank yous and the few people in the community that do give us handshakes and thank us for our job and whatnot. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those that I volunteered to do, and, you know, I stand by what I do, and, you know, I try to treat people the best that I can at the fact, but, you know, sometimes decisions have to be made on what we have at the time, and a lot of people have a difficult time just kind of accepting that decision. So it's, we do appreciate
it. Is this something that like runs in your family? Is this a long tradition for y'all, or are you, you know, like one of the first in your family? Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about it compared to maybe like another profession?
Well, I kind of bounced around jobs early on in life, and you know, I kind of just stumbled upon this when I was working a job. I had an off-duty officer approach me about possibly working where I do now, and I never even crossed my mind, to be honest, because I'm the first. I never had any family or friends or anybody that I knew work law enforcement, so it intrigued me, and then I actually kind of just stumbled upon it, and I love it.
Wow. I just try to imagine. And I can't, you know, and I just wonder, as I've seen, I guess the word deteriorate is the only one that I can really come to with, to describe, you know, what I've seen. You know, and one of the things that you had mentioned when we had talked earlier in talking about doing, you coming on, you were talking to me about people's First Amendment, and I wonder if you wouldn't mind kind of sharing a little bit about that, because it opened my eyes even, and I just wonder how many people think about it, number one, just as a regular person, in terms of we have to respect all of our rights. We can't take our rights and stomp on someone else's while we're doing it, although it happens all the time, we shouldn't. But to be an officer and then still have such a strong passion for that, it really amazed me. And I'm not just trying to say nice things. Like, that is really how it made me feel.
Well, people have to understand that America was created from a melting pot of people. I mean, there was multiple cultures in America when the Founding Fathers approached America. So, you know, for people to go on social media and, you know, they and basically bash people's First Amendments and freedom of speech and freedom of press and freedom of, you know, to peacefully mitigate together. It's frustrating because people are allowed to speak their mind as long as they're doing it in a proper and, you know, nonviolent way. There's nothing against the law for any of that. And for people to take offense to it and physically harm someone else for speaking their mind, you know, it's very upsetting.
Yeah, I was doing some studying a few years back about the progression of, let's just, for conversation, say, like a 100-year period of time. Over, you know, say, starting in the, I don't know, early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, generation by generation, it got to the point where shaking someone's hand didn't have the same value that it used to. It got to the point where you could not have a civil debate, just a regular disagreement. You know, it became a brawl or a killing or a mauling more often than not as time, you know, went by. And so nowadays, I feel like to have a protest, just, you know, I live near Austin. I've gone down to the Capitol. I've lobbied. I've protested. And it was always never a thought about safety or, you know, will violence erupt or whatever. If I went down there now, I would expect it. That's how I perceive things have changed. So it's interesting to me that even with all that going on and the threat that it is to your safety, you still have such a deep heart for it, honor for it, you know, that it means so much to you.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about, I guess, about being an American is you take pride in what you do, and, you know, the whole, it's just one of those things. So, yeah.
Well, I'm just so grateful. And I know I've said that a lot, but I could say it all day long. It'll never be enough. And I know maybe it doesn't mean the same thing to, you know, all officers. It should. And like you said, and this is something that I talk about a lot, is how I want to make our founding fathers proud because they sought out a place where they could go and they would have these inalienable rights where no one would just say, I said no, you can't, period. So much blood was shed, so much money invested over time, and we have this beautiful America. And now it's, instead of it, you know, getting better, I feel like I've watched it decline. And I don't want that, you know. And I don't know what the solutions are, but I do know that education is really, really important. I know it's one of the most important things. It's empowering. And I also know that participating is really, really important. And the golden rule is really, really important. And
that's a very key rule that people forget these days.
They do. And I don't really understand it, but they do.
Yes. And it amazes me because I see this next generation growing up, and man, some of the stuff that I see, you know, and I'm just like, man, I just remember if I was that age, I would have got it from my parents, the neighbors, my grandparents, and everybody else. And, you know, it's just their structure is not there like it used to be. And it's frustrating to see.
Well, I hope that, you know, one conversation like what we're having tonight, one of the reasons I do what I do is to try to create a situation where we can have a good, healthy conversation about things that are good and produce results And then people will share that. They'll be like, I relate to that. I want to share that. I know you've got to go, so I'm going to break away and play some music for everybody. But I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you taking the time. And I my prayers will be with you, as they are a lot. I think about you a lot and your family. And we're going to get to speak to Mrs. Anonymous here in the next hour. So I'm excited about that. I want to hear her take. And just go out there and be safe. And thank you for taking the time. Come on here with us.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your, you know, the thanks. And, you know, like I said, if you need anything or whatnot, just give us a call.
Oh, we will. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. You be safe.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. So I am going to take a quick break, get a little organized, get our next guest on. I want to throw a special shout out to a really, really special woman in my life. She's, man, we've been through a lot. And she's like a sister to me. And we were just talking about how much time has gone by, so many different things. But at the end of the day, here we are. We're still fighting for America, for the hopes and the dreams that we've had as women, for our families, for our kids. So I want to play a special song for her. She probably already knows what it is. And when this song is done, I'll see you on the other side, and I'll have a very special guest with me. So take a listen, do what you got to do, stretch a little bit, and let's see. Looks like I'll see you in about 5 minutes on the other side.
Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964. Grandfather was a drinker back in the day, he put him down. But a war is known to change a man, and the whiskey's known to change a man. That's not me. I rarely drink from the bottle, but I'll smoke a little weed. To live in the sticks where you wouldn't go, in a town of 1,200 off an old dirt road, and a country boy is all I'll ever be. Now it's been 12 years since I sold my soul to the devil in L.A. He said, sign your name here on the dotted line, and your songs, they all better listen to me. He said, change your style, whiten your smile, you could lose a couple of pounds. If you want to live this life, you better lose that wife. Do you need your friends around? I said, no, that's not me. Biggest things in life are your friends and family, and I like my jeans and my old t-shirts, and a couple extra pounds never really hurt, 'cause a country boy is all I.
the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave. Because this is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my belief. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, 'cause I've never needed government to hold my hand. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, 'cause my family's always fought and died to save this land. And a country boy is all I'll ever be.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this is America, and a country boy's good enough for me, son.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. And I just want to say thank you to Truth Finders Network for sponsoring this show, The Hot Zone, tonight. I want to let everybody know that I really do understand the kinds of hardships that everybody's experiencing all too well all my life. And the truth is, those are the things that have inspired me to do what I do. Even though the past 2 years have been extra hard and I haven't even been able to do the broadcasting, I got to be honest, the state of affairs in our country, they just made me look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what, girl? It doesn't matter how you feel today. It doesn't matter what's going on or how much work you have to do. You have got to at least bring this every Tuesday through the election. And what's really going to be great is on election night, for those of you that I am blessed to have join me, how awesome will it be? As many of you can see, and if you're not there now, go to truthfindersnetwork.com, because we've got a really, really awesome chat room there where we can talk back and forth. You can put, I watch it through the whole show, and I get your questions and I get your comments. And it's really great if you're not really wanting to call in. Of course, you can call. Our phones are open. I'm about to introduce my next guest. But before I do, I want to shout out the phone number real quick. It's 323-870-3379. And our show is every Tuesday from 8 to 10 Central Standard Time. And I just want to be working together with y'all to do our best to make our founding fathers proud. And right now, I am going to bring in, and don't, it's not my fault if I get it wrong. I'm going to, I think I know how to say this. Your last name I've got, but your first name I wasn't so sure, but it looks like it's Noel. Is that right? Noel?
Yep.
Rosen?
That's right. That's
Yay!
Right.
I got it right on. Okay. You do a lot of different things. So I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, a little backwards, but I would love for you to share with everybody what you do the way that you did with me earlier today.
Well, yeah, I'm a small business owner. I solve computer problems for a living. That's what I do here in the Phoenix area, actually. Soon to be in Wickenburg, actually. Basically, one of the things that I started was a pro-police movement called Rally for LE, which is Rally for Law Enforcement, if you really want to spell it out, which basically, you know, we stand by our police, we stand by our law enforcement, and we're there to support them.
That is so amazing. So when you say rally, are you meaning it both ways, as in rally around them, but also as in holding rallies?
Oh, yeah.
Or,
exactly. Yes. Yes.
Tell me all about it. And while you're telling me, I'm going to try to get the link in the chat room to, you know, send people that way.
Yeah, what we basically have done is we've held several rallies, not only here in the Phoenix metro area, but nationwide. We've rallied nationwide in other cities. And actually, we got started back in 2014. Actually, December 2014, I just couldn't sit by, and you know, I got tired of the Black Lives Matter terrorists, and I call them terrorists because that's what they are. I'm not going to be PC about it. You know, they were attacking the police. We had the mainstream media attacking the police. Their headlines were always very anti-cop. I got tired of the cops getting attacked, so we started we planned within just a matter of days, actually. The first rally in Phoenix, which was pretty successful. And, of course, things grew from there. And we ended up not only getting things started in Phoenix right after our rally, Houston, after seeing what we did in Phoenix, decided to rally. So we have grown as a movement. And, you know, we need to back the blue. And In the climate that we have right now, we need to back the blue and do it armed if necessary. That's what needs to happen, because there's a clear-cut war on police in this country. And I think that we definitely need to stand by our cops. I mean, that's just number one, because without them, you know, they're the ones that literally risk their lives to keep our community safe. And also, and sometimes, unfortunately, they've given their lives in the line of duty to have that happen, to protect our community. So, you know, to all the law enforcement out there, whoever's listening, thank you for your service. I always believe
Absolutely.
In doing that.
And as we'll hear from Mrs. Anonymous here in the next hour, I'm constantly, every time I see an officer, the first thing I think of is, I wonder who they left at home to come and do their job. And I mean, Lord God knows that I've had my own experiences with the law, and they haven't all been good, but I made the best out of them, and not everybody does that. And nowadays, mm-hmm. you know, I really just wish that it just seems like it's easier to blame. And I know the reality of it is partly the fact that we have broken down families for generations and generations. And in my experience of getting to know all different kinds of people, one of the things that stood out loud and clear to me was that when people do not have currency, and currency doesn't have to be money, it can be bartering, it could be you know, just trading, you know, it's whatever is of value to one person and another. And when they don't have family, a lot of the times people will behave and they'll do things that they may not have ever otherwise done. And unfortunately, we've got those officers out there on the front line, and they and their families, they're taking the hits for it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like if I can say I need their services, then I can stand up and say, I want to stand up for you and what you do for us, which is what I love about what you do.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think any citizen that has a somewhat jaded view of police, I've encouraged them. One of the things I've encouraged them to do is to go to their local police department and look into the Citizens Police Academy, because a lot of police departments actually have them. I actually went through that. I actually went through the Citizens Police Academy in Scottsdale back in 2006. And yeah, 10 years, there's things that have changed in policing in the last 10 years, but still, I think
right.
it's a great way for a citizen to get to know the police department and how it works. And there's also Citizens Academy, and you know, I thought I would get a plug in for her in case Marsha Hill, who's running for Maricopa County Sheriff's, here in Maricopa County. You know, I think that's one of the programs that really will boost things when I'm very optimistic about her chances, and I really want.
And she's a constitutional sheriff, by the way, folks.
Yeah, she is, and one of the things that I kind of hope to talk to her about when she gets into office is to keep that program going, because the sheriff's office actually does have a program like that. It's very similar to the city police departments. I went through, you know, Scottsdale Citizens Academy, which was absolutely a wonderful experience. And they do it every week. They have a schedule, and you're meeting usually there on a Wednesday or Thursday down at I went to police headquarters at the time. And it was a very, very good experience. And I think any citizen really should look into that if they really want to get to know their police department.
You know, I can't agree with you more. I totally agree. I feel like even correctional officers in incarceration facilities would do them good to spend a night or a weekend incarcerated themselves without anybody knowing that they were an officer in training. Otherwise, they would get special treatment. And it's a lot can be said when you experience what you dish out. And you know what they say, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. And I think that can be true a lot of time. But overall, I always like the math in things. And for me, when I look at it and I think, okay, you know, we'll just say there's millions of officers in our country of, you know, every level from street beat cops all the way to detectives to sheriffs and everything in between, versus out of all of those, the numbers of officers, again, of all kinds that are not the ones, you know, that are the good guys, they're the ones that don't follow the rules and don't do the things that they should. They are giving all of the cops, all the good cops, a bad rap. And that is just not a realistic, it's a very skewed way to look at it. But if you're a criminal or you're a young kid and, you know, you're in the midst of, you know, this or that, those are the things you're going to tell yourself. Oh, you know, they all deserve it. He's a bad cop or whatever. I don't know what goes through people's minds when they're, you know, in that heat of a moment. But I do know the bigger part, which is the goodness in it, in one moment of time, it just gets lost.
Well,
good cops than bad.
Yeah, there. You know, I try to figure out the other side. There's no logic to the progressive way of thinking, because the logic is lost on them. But there's less than
true.
You know, there's good and bad in every industry. There's bad there's bad guys in my industry. You know, there's bad computer techs, but you don't see the Black Lives Matter terrorists going after them. You don't see the these people that protest against the police. You don't see them protesting that. You don't see them protesting plumbers, bad doctors, bad veterinarians, bad lawyers. I mean, the list goes on. And you know, the less than 0.1%. It's actually a low number. It's like 0.05% or something like that. that's the number of the law enforcement that tarnished the badge. So when you really look at it,
yep.
there's like the overwhelmingly 99.9%, I guess I'll go with that, that are good stewards to the community. They're a lot of police officers are involved in their community, and that's one of the things that I've had a benefit of doing with Rally for LE is I've actually gone out there individually with a thin blue line flag and a sign of thanks around to many of the police departments here in the Valley, thanking them for their service. And they're really surprised to actually see someone out there. That's the biggest thing that I get is that they will engage with me and they'll say, we never see this kind of support at all. And it actually kind of saddens me to see it, you know, to hear that.
Yeah, that makes me really, really sad.
Because when I was growing up, you were taught to go to the police when you needed help, not run away from them. And we've got the other side that's telling you run, run, run. Well, we're trying to change that. At least I try to change that. And I try to change people's minds. I think the problem that we have with the things like Black Lives Matter is they're racist, they're terrorists. And their whole narrative is to try to destroy this country. And, you know, when you really look at it, the people that are behind the anti-cop, you know, some of the people that are behind the anti-cop atmosphere that we have, there's a little bit to blame. There's people like Soros who fund Black Lives Matter and the other police and the other anti-cop terrorists. There's Obama. He stepped in. He's not for the police. And if you think Hillary is, got another thing coming because she's not for the police either. There's so many bad people
obvious.
Yeah, they've gotten into this war against police. They want this country divided. And the thing is that the thin blue line, that's the police. What happens if they go away? There's just going to be nothing but chaos. We're going to end up having to solve our own problems when that happens. We'll have, you know, it'll be like the Wild West days. So,
exactly.
You know, we need to back our police because these are people that deserve to go home to their families at night and see their families at night. They, it's funny because with Rally for LE, we have in our ranks retired law enforcement. We have active law enforcement, and we have police supporters and police families. And to hear a lot of the stories that they have talked about it, you know, they pray every day. They pray every day when their loved one leaves out that front door. They're constantly praying and hoping that their loved one is going to come back. And most of the time they do, but sometimes they don't. And it's very, very heartbreaking. I mean, I've had a chance to stand watch outside hospitals for officers that were shot in the line of duty. One of them was a MCSO deputy in Scottsdale. I stood out there with the thin blue line flag and, you know, to show my support, standing watch. I was out there in Chandler when two officers were shot in the line of duty. I was there at the hospital. And I was also at the hospital when Officer Glasser was shot, and then he eventually passed away. So there's a clear-cut war on – I mean, there's a clear war on police in this country, and it needs to stop. And the only way it's going to stop is when good citizens get off Facebook, number one. You know, it's great that you tell everybody on Facebook that you support the police, but where it really matters – is you put your words into action, and you're actually out there physically there supporting them outside. Come to the rallies. I mean, we've got one coming up, a national rally that's on the 24th, and it's going to be nationwide.
So tell everybody about that. Where will it be, you know, the day, the time, all of that stuff.
Okay.
And we'll put
September
a link
24th.
In the chat room. Okay.
It's on September 24th. And it's in cities nationwide. So And if you don't have one that's going on in your city, or help us organize one. Just put one together and go out there and show your support. Get out in front of those police stations. Show your support for the officers. The one that we're planning here in Phoenix is actually we're planning to be in Glendale, Arizona for that one. And so that should be very, very, very good. I'm going to try to make it a point to go to some of the other outlining areas for the solo, you know, for the rallies that I've done where I've just been one guy standing out there with the flag. I've gotten to most of the police departments, including the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. So I think when Marcia becomes sheriff, she might actually see me out in front of one of those stations periodically. Luckily I'm not being chased away, you know, because I'm out there for 3 hours, and sometimes there's some of them that will, coming back into the station, they'll say, "You're still here? You mean you don't have, I mean, you know, you don't have a home? You know, I've got a place to go." But I think it's important that if they see one person out there, then maybe it can change a lot of minds and have other people, it can encourage other people to do the same thing. It doesn't take much to thank an officer for what they do, but it means a lot to them when they hear it.
You know, you're absolutely right. And it reminds me of something I experienced a few years back. I'll share this and then we'll take a break and then come back on the other side. But I had it put on my heart to find, let me just preface it by saying I was feeling very, very disappointed in people in general. And I was going through a lot of things at the time. And one of the ways that I have always coped with situations like that is always one to try to find the positivity within it and then to become part of the solution and not the problem. In this case, it became very clear to me the only way that I could really do that in the situation that I was in was to offer something good to say to every single person that I came in contact with. Now, flattery doesn't count. That's when I learned, I always wondered, why is flattery so bad? And it's because they're compliments that you don't really mean. They're just these flattery things that you might say to somebody. But when you can say something to somebody that is genuine, they know it, they feel it. And I figured out, you know, even if the nicest thing that I could say to somebody was, "I really hope you have a good day," I knew I could say that and mean it. So a lot of the times that was my default, you know, comment. Long and short of the story is that after about 3 months of doing this, one morning, a particular person that I had said this to every single morning, I think maybe at the fourth month mark, happened to have been having like one of the worst mornings ever. I didn't know that. To me, it was like the other morning. And I went, greeted that person in the morning, and I said, I hope that you have a blessed day. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, I have hated it when you said that to me every day for months. I just couldn't believe that you would say that to me every single day. Like, how dare she? She doesn't mean that." But really, I did. And after a while, she of hearing it every day, she realized, okay, wait, maybe she does mean it. And this one particular morning, I guess, was a really, really, really bad morning for this woman. And I guess on her way to work, it was my telling her, "Good morning. I hope that you have a blessed day," that she was thinking about as she was driving to work. When I saw her that morning and I told her what I did every day, I left, went about my day. Later on, I happened to be eating lunch with a couple of ladies, and they had spoken to this woman shortly after I had. And these girls said to me, "What in the world did you say to her?" And I'm like, "Why?" And they're like, "Well, I don't know, but whatever it was, after that, she was Miss Happy Sauce to everybody." And I was like, I told her to have a blessed day. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, that was the lesson in it all, was that you never know when people are watching. You never know when they're listening. And you never know when you're going to affect someone with those kind of things. So you standing out there, I want to say thank you to you too, whether it's by yourself or with others. And I hope that there's something that we can do as a group here to get this conversation going and make it a bigger group. You know, maybe it's two or three one weekend and then another, you know, five or six and so on, because it really, really does matter. And I'm really glad that you do it. And that's why I really wanted you to come on tonight and talk about it and make sure that everybody knows what you're doing, because I had never heard of it. Until I met you this past week.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, it's funny because the media will not tell you about us. You hear the other side, the anti-cop side. You never hear about our side, but it's always been one that to say that they're biased would be correct, but sometimes a great understatement, you know. The media needs to get behind police. It's kind of funny that they will bash the police and they will have all of these, they'll turn the cameras on for, the anti-cop crowd. And I've already seen two Black Lives Matter protests in Phoenix. Both times we were down there, both time we saw them marching down the street, and both times I and others stood with, you know, for the police as best we could. But I think it also can happen it can happen anywhere. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I'm in the process of moving right now. And of course, where I intend on going, you know, I intend on standing out in front of the police department there, doing the same thing that I've been doing in Phoenix, and hopefully open up a narrative and let them know that there are people out there that support them. I think there's a lot of people that support the police, but I think, it's kind of easier for me to go out there to do it than somebody else, because, you know, I run my own business, so I can make the time when
that
I feel
sense.
It's necessary to go down there and support our law enforcement. We just, you know, we had, not too long ago, it was, a few months ago, we had Police Week here in Arizona. It was nationwide, and I decided to go to like Tempe, and I went back down to Phoenix, and really try to show them that there are people that they matter. And it's kind of funny because the encounters I've had with police officers have been very, very good. I've had officers, it's kind of funny, I've had officers that when the weather is hot, they'll come out and they'll bring a water or a sports drink, and they'll want to take a picture of what I'm doing, you know, and sometimes they even get into the pictures with you.
It's like when we were in junior high or high school, right, and we had the school dance and, you know, got the groovy music going. Everybody wants to shake their booty, but nobody wants to go first. And then finally someone goes. Next thing you know, the whole gym is filled with people shaking their booty. And we've even talked about this sort of thing on this show before, is being maybe that person that goes first. But in this case, and then it applies to what you do, sometimes it's not good enough just to go first. Like, sometimes you have to actually write the song, get it produced, put it on the record player, play it for everybody else, and then dance first. It's like really hard sometimes to get people to follow in these sorts of things. But I hope that you've had better luck than that.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think if someone has just reminded me just a few moments ago, and I'm going to paraphrase what they said. You know, without, you know, LE, you know, without the, you know, the law enforcement, we have no protections for our freedoms within our borders. You know, we love to, you know, the biggest thing that we, that a lot of people talk about is the soldiers overseas. Well, the police are our soldiers at home. They're the ones that are protecting our communities and our local communities. And we're the foundation, you know, it's like a house. And without a good foundation, the citizens, the police can't do their jobs effectively. And a lot of, you know, the unfortunate thing that I've encountered is that morale is very low amongst law enforcement right now because they are being attacked. But when they see people getting involved and they see people, you know, whether it be bringing them a bunch of cards, whether bringing them, you know, lunch or, you know, and I've bought a, you know, police officer's breakfast. You know, I was very active in going to the local coffee with the cop thing. They have these things called coffee with a cop, and it's basically the neighborhoods, you know, the people that live in the neighborhoods every month will meet with their local precinct and some of the officers, you know, just over a, you know, a cup of coffee or breakfast. And they, of course, talk about the issues, and they have a chance to really engage with their police officers. You know, and now those are things that they don't have it where I'm moving to. If they don't have it in the town I'm moving into, I'm kind of hoping that I can get that going so that it's something that, you know, a regular, you know, that it becomes a regular thing, because they matter. They matter, and really a lot of times, if you really think about it, the police need our help when a crime is committed. And, you know, we have
Absolutely.
To be the eyes and ears for them. But sometimes if you see a cop getting attacked, you don't just sit there and just put your, you know, your cell phone camera, your smartphone camera out just to video record it so you can become a famous YouTube star or you know, a star on social media. You step in and you help. And I see a lot of these videos. And believe me that we started an initiative with Rally for LE called Operation Thin Blue Shield. And basically what that is that if we're able to, we'll stop, you know, if one of our members, if they're able to, we'll stop at the side of the road if they see a police officer there and there's only one officer, they don't have backup. And we won't interfere in their work or their job and their duty, but we will be there to remain vigilant. And if there's a threat and, you know, somebody's not coming up behind them that they, you know, the officer can't see, then we're going to warn them of the threat. But if the officer needs help in dealing with the threat, we'll step in and help them deal with the threat. You know, and we've had you know, unfortunately, we've had police officers who were, while doing their duty, were shot, you know, sometimes at the side of the road. There have been quite a number of incidents that have happened like that. So if a citizen who is armed can help stop that threat to protect the officers, we're going to do it. Now, I know, you know, one of the things that I warn all of our members about, follow the law when you do it. But there's also something called there's also this nifty thing that we have called the Constitution, that allows us to exercise our Second Amendment rights. And one of those rights is, you know, the right to keep and bear arms. And, I think that, you know, that's why I have said that when we go out and we deal, with law enforcement, I'll tell you, I'm usually armed, and I will not hesitate to risk my life to save a cop's life, because these are people that deserve our support. These are people that that have families to go home to. And it's going to take...
Well, I have something very exciting to share with you. I don't know if you're able to view the chat room at all, but I was just wanting to kind of confirm my thoughts on it with a few of the people that know about it. There is what's called MCAU, M-C-A-U. It's acronym for Militia Civil Affairs Unit. And this is something that was created out of necessity for people like me, for example, who are not physically capable of traditional participation in a well-regulated militia. And so it can't be politically motivated, but when you are supporting law enforcement, it would certainly apply. I want to hold that thought real quick, and because I want to go ahead and bring in Mrs. Anonymous, and I'm going to play another song. I'm going to see if I can pull up a Johnny Cash song. Most of us love Johnny Cash.
I was hoping to like Metallica or something like that, or AC/DC. You know? How about a little rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, a little rock and roll. How about Disturbed? Shout.
Okay, that might work.
You ever...
put a little bit of that on. That'll shake things up overnight and probably wake a few people up.
I'm totally going to shake them up. All right, you guys, get ready to get shook up. The song's about 4-ish minutes. I'll get our new other guests on the line, and I'll see you on the other side. didn't get you pumped up, I don't know what will. Although I do have a really cool song saved for last. I don't know. They've changed things around on Blog Talk Radio, but that's okay. We'll go with the flow. Instead of being able to get guests on during music, you've got to actually wait till it's done and then call them up. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to call Mrs. Anonymous right now. So here we go. Let me plug her phone number in and dial. Let's see what happens. Try that one more time. Don't you just love life? All right. Okay. Do I have you with us? Can you hear me? Well, bear with me. It's weird. It's like disconnecting. Let me try one more thing. Okay. Let's see what happens now. Okay. For some reason, it's not letting me call that number. I'm going to give her our number to call in real quick. 1 second. Man, this is what you do when you raise a bunch of kids. You learn how to multitask like really big time. I know there's a few people out there who already know how many kids I have, so I'm not asking you, but can anybody guess? Probably not. Okay. This is just, here we go. Okay. Do I got you with us finally?
Yes, I'm here.
Woo! All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for all that you do. And I'm so grateful, and I really wanted everybody to get your perspective of what it's like to be the one at home, your loved one going out there putting his life on the line every day. And so I'm just going to give you the floor and let you speak your heart about that.
Well, thank you again for having us. There's nothing like, you know, especially with things, you know, a year ago I would not, I kissed my husband goodnight. He went to work, and it was okay. I went about my night and didn't have any fear. And these past several months, I constantly wake up and check my phone and worry that something's going to happen, because you never, you know, the way things are these days, you have to get off Facebook, because you get on Facebook and you see all these horrible things that are happening, and it's scary. It is genuinely scary, and
Is it it's radically different than it was even 6 months year ago?
Very much so. I mean, my husband had gotten, you know, messages letting them know to keep safe in his district. People have sent anonymous letters threatening that they were going to kill him and, you know, shoot cops randomly in his district. And it's scary when you hear that and you know your husband's going to work that night and you don't know. I mean, this has literally happened in the past several months, and it's very scary. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I can't even imagine. And yet y'all do it. And, you know, I know how dedicated he is, and you, just to get up and do it the way that you do every day. But I don't know that everybody else who is not in your shoes really gets it. And that's what I really, you know, want people to understand and think twice before they just, you know, say whatever, because like Mr. Rossum was saying before, you know, we have our military and they protect us afar, but we have our officers and that's who protects us here. And what in the hell would we do without them? Like, what would our world be like? I can't even imagine.
Of course, yeah. I, you know, honestly, I'm just going to be honest. I feel sometimes.
I want you to.
I tell my husband sometimes that, you know, all this crap is going on. My baby brother also works law enforcement. And I told him, you know, I told him one night I was crying and I said, I don't want you to go to work tonight. I was scared. And he told me, you know, he has to do his job. That's his job, you know, and he has to do it. And I will text something to you, but you better text me every hour, just so I know you're okay. And, you know, it's hard. It is hard. But, you know, there's one thing, you know, my brother told me the other day, we were talking on the phone, and he said, we can't live in fear because then we're giving them exactly what they want. And we refuse to do that. So, yeah.
That's one of the things that we like to chant in the chat room. No more chains, no more fear, no more surrender. And hardcore all the way. And, you know, I was talking to the gentleman about something that most people don't know about, and it's the, speaking of Second Amendment, you know, most militia has, you have to, there's a physical element where you're training, et cetera. Someone like me who I can't do those physical things, or maybe for people who cannot own firearms, et cetera. You've got all these people, and they could be doing non-political keyboard work or footwork, boots on the ground, so to speak, where they're out there telling the message that Mr. Rosen was talking about. I mean, I could not believe that I didn't even know the rally for the LE existed. And why aren't we having one here in Central Texas? So for me, when I decided to do this show and call it American Lives Matter, I really wanted to place the emphasis on American, because there's so many different lives and different kinds of lives. But for me, no one is, I'm not trying to say one person or anyone is better than another person, but at the end of the day, going and fixing cars like my husband and I do pales in comparison to what your husband does and then what you do letting him go. There's just no comparison. And there has to be an awareness and an education and a renewed, I think, appreciation. And I feel like those things are contagious. So maybe if we did have more rallies and more rallying around our law enforcement, it could go a long way. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that anything that we can do to support them is what they need. I can tell you even small things. Like, I can't tell you there's a little boy that lives in our neighborhood that comes and knocks on our door all the time and tells my husband, you know, hey, yeah, he came over the other day and he had handcuffs and he wants to be a cop one day, he always tells him. And just that little bit of thing my husband always tells me, just that gives him a sense of, you know, I'm doing this for the right reasons. I'm doing this because it gives him a sense that, you know, he feels secure. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but he feels...
Makes a lot of sense, makes, though, actually.
Making a difference, and it matters. It matters. He does matter. What he's doing matters, and he needs that. And I can't tell you how much when people even come up to him and tell him, just thank you. And I would encourage anybody to do that if you see an officer. Just thank them. It takes 10 seconds to tell them thank you. And it does. It means a lot to them because, I mean, he told me the other day, you know, people still like us. It's good to know sometimes. And yeah.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of the things that people do nowadays have the same values that they did, you know, 50 years ago. But when it comes to putting your life at risk every single day in every way, there's nothing that compares to that unless you are in the military. My son was in the military for a couple of years, and he was stationed in England. I was a different person. I mean, I could hardly function, it seemed like, because I was constantly worried and there was nothing I could do about it. And that is, you know, that isn't even the same. And
yeah.
I'm just very grateful to you and to the husbands of the women officers out there, and to all of the other women and partners, to all of the officers out there. And I really, really hope going forward that nights like tonight, where we're coming out and talking about it, maybe for me, results are what it's all about. I don't really care if I'm not getting results. If there's no results, then what's the point? So I want to see results. I want to see people have a greater appreciation for, like what you were just, that little story about that little boy, that means so much. And like we said, you never know when someone's watching and when they're looking and when you're their inspiration. And for all the sacrifice that you give every day, I know that you are going to get back so much, just so much. But I could never thank you enough for what y'all do.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. Seriously.
Well, we appreciate you. And I just, hold on 1 second. I'm so rusty at this. I did this like 3 times a week for like 2.5 years. And then I got to where I physically couldn't do it. And then, of course, as soon as I got well, then I was working all the time. So, sweet Lord, I just took this all up again, because this election has gotten me so fired up. And I'm so fearful the direction that it's going. And I want a law and order president. I mean, I want a president that puts our officers exactly where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
In first place, priority. That's what's motivating me.
One that even acknowledges what they do. And it's like that. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. But
well, maybe we can figure out a way to have one of these really great rallies here, or even, you know, there's so many things that we can do nowadays. Like, I think they call them, I don't know if it's YouTube Hangout or Google Hangout. I should be way more techie than I am, but there's a lot of ways that we can use the tools of our time to gather and support and build networks without actually having to travel and physically be there and still get a lot of results.
I think it's time for people to, I mean, actions speak louder than words, and it's time to start putting some action behind it, you know? Black Lives Matter and all these other things are standing up doing it. It's time for people to stand up on the other side, supporting law enforcement, to stand up and actually put actions behind their words. It is time.
It's way past time. And I don't know, again, me doing this, I'm trying to turn this one conversation into a million conversations, because it can be shared once it's over. It turns into a podcast automatically. So we can even just share this and the things that we've talked about. And every time someone listens, they're going to hear about what we've talked about. If mm-hmm. if just one person is more motivated to either become a law enforcement officer, or to have one of these rallies, or to help organize a rally, or maybe buy an officer breakfast, mm-hmm. there's so many little teeny things and big things that we could be doing to show our appreciation. They would be working harder for us, if that's even possible. And maybe they would feel more appreciated. Because like you said, it's his job. It's what he's got to do. It's how he earns a living and provides for y'all. But his job is not a regular job. I don't know if there is a more dangerous job.
I would say, we attended a fellow officer's funeral a few months ago, and they said something very powerful. They said, you know, the Blue family is hurting, and they are discouraged. They are. And it is discouraging to know that, you know, to go to your job and wonder, you know, you have to fear for the very people you're protecting, someone's going to come up behind you and shoot you. Or, you know, God knows what they're going to do. And it's time for people to do, like I said earlier, you know, to stand up and to show them the appreciation that they deserve and let them know that you support them, that you will be there if you see them in trouble to help assist them. They really need to hear that. I can tell you, my husband, my brother, you know, they've all said that it's discouraging right now. It is. They feel discouraged, and they need that. They need support of the community. They do.
Well, I sure hope that everybody who has listened tonight and is listening, and for those of you who will be listening to this podcast later, you know, maybe we could all make it, you know, a goal, even once a week, for goodness sake, to shake an officer's hand, or maybe, you know, seeing you, someone may not know that your husband is an officer, but then again, there's probably situations when y'all are together and maybe they do know. But the point is, open our eyes, open our ears, and pay attention, and reach out and do something. You know, buy an officer a soda. You know, give the sheriff in your town, you know, a plant for his desk. I mean, I don't know. I'm making things up off the top of my head, really. But it could be anything. Just something to show that you appreciate it and that you care. Because you never know when that one little thing really is going to be that one little thing that gets that person up out of their bed every day and go and do that hard job, that dangerous job. And for you, I just want you to know that I will be praying for you. I think about you guys all the time. And
thank you, girls.
Thank you. And I appreciate you being with me tonight. And both of you guys, I made a joke earlier. Y'all remind me of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. only way better looking. You guys. And you're beautiful people inside and out, and we're grateful to know you, and I'm really grateful that you shared your time with us tonight. So that wraps it up for me tonight in the hot zone, and I've got this last song. It's, you may never have heard it. You might want to stay on the phone if you can and listen, because it's kind of cool. It's a tradition that we have around here. It's called the Warrior Song. I am playing the short version because the long one, we just don't have time for it tonight. But it's so cool. And it was written for the Marine Corps, but I think of just servicemen in general, and certainly officers. So we're going out with the Warrior Song, and I appreciate you, and I hope that you know that I'm here if you need me, and everybody knows where to find me, and I appreciate you listening to The Hot Zone. Thank you, Truth Finders Network, for sponsoring this show, and I hope to see y'all back next week, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, and here we are going out, the Warriors.
I've got the reach in the bastard. We're going to cut